This podcast presentation is an abridged version of the audit report, Department of Agriculture, Evaluating the Animal Facilities Inspection Program. Release date, December 13, 2018. This audit sought to answer three questions. The first question was, are the policies and practices of the Department of Agriculture's Animal Facilities Inspection Program adequate to ensure consistent inspections and appropriate penalties? The answer is, the Animal Facilities Inspection Program did not have adequate policies to ensure consistent inspections, but the seven inspections we observed were consistent. The program did not have adequate policies or practices to ensure appropriate penalties. First, here's some quick background information on the program. It's responsible for licensing and inspecting the state's 940 animal facilities, which include breeding facilities, pounds and shelters, rescue networks, kennels, pet shops, and research facilities. Licensed facilities must comply with the state's Pet Animal Act, which establishes requirements related to animal health and well-being. These include requirements on adequate temperature, space, exercise, feeding, and watering. The program regularly inspects facilities to ensure they comply with these requirements. As of 2018, the program employed five full-time staff consisting of three inspectors, one administrative assistant, and one director. Program expenditures totaled about $425,000 in fiscal year 2017. The printed report has additional information on licensed facilities and inspector responsibilities. Although program policy was not adequate to ensure consistent inspections, we did not identify any significant problems for the seven inspections we observed. State law includes several requirements to ensure healthy and humane conditions for animal facilities in Kansas. It's inspectors' responsibility to ensure facilities comply with these requirements, but the program's policy lacked adequate guidance to ensure inspections were consistent. To measure whether inspectors were consistent in practice, we accompanied inspectors on seven inspections. These inspections represent a judgmental and non-projectable sample. The inspections we observed were generally consistent across both inspectors and the seven facilities. However, we observed inconsistencies in how facilities were inspected in three areas. Inspectors were still consistent in five areas where policies were either missing or inadequate. For example, the program lacked guidance on how to determine if animal enclosures were adequately sized. Despite this, inspectors were aware of the state size requirements and explained a similar and adequate process to evaluate compliance with that regulation. Officials relied heavily on staff, instead of formal policies, to ensure inspections were consistent. Officials told us the policy manual was a good learning tool for new inspectors, but they primarily expected inspectors to learn through supervised on-the-job training, reviewing state regulations, and talking with other program staff. Officials told us updating policy would help improve staff training, and that creating an inspection checklist per best practice may help ensure all applicable requirements are reviewed during an inspection. Program policy did not adequately address best practices related to legal enforcement, and penalties were not always consistent, appropriate, or progressive. State law gives program officials the authority to penalize facilities that fail inspections or otherwise violate legal and regulatory requirements. The program had a policy to generally penalize facilities after three consecutive failed inspections, but also allowed officials discretion to deviate from this rule. However, policy provided no additional guidance on when it was acceptable to deviate. Although program officials described an informal process, the program had no formal policy to consider the type or severity of violations when determining an appropriate penalty, nor did it have a policy addressing progressively severe violations. Based on our judgmental, non-projectable sample, we found that the program's practices were not adequate to ensure penalties were consistent, appropriate, and progressive. Officials did not consistently pursue penalties after the third consecutive failed inspection in 64% of the cases. However, we could not determine if that was appropriate because program policy lacked guidance on when to use discretion to not penalize a facility that failed three consecutive inspections. Officials did not assign progressively severe penalties in two of the five cases we sampled, where facilities continued to fail inspections after being penalized by the program. We also found one case out of five where penalties were not appropriate. Although the program has the authority to immediately seize animals when their health, safety, or welfare is endangered, it chose not to in recent years. Instead, the program used the threat of severe penalties to negotiate with facilities to voluntarily relinquish animals. However, this practice led to cases where some animals with health issues were not seized. Rather, they were required to be treated by a veterinarian or were voluntarily relinquished by the owner after a legal process. The program must use discretion when penalizing non-compliant facilities, but lacked guidelines for when and how to apply it across facilities. The program lacked well-defined guidelines to determine when it's appropriate to penalize facilities and lacked guidance on how to determine which types of penalties were appropriate given the circumstances. Not having a policy to ensure appropriate penalties increases the risk that facilities may continue to operate for longer than they should. The second question was, is the animal facilities inspection program adequately managed and staffed to effectively and efficiently carry out its responsibilities? The answer is, although the program appeared to operate efficiently, some areas related to program management and staffing could be improved to help the program operate more effectively. The program needs to improve key processes related to program oversight and training that were necessary to ensure it operates effectively. The program should have a process to ensure its inspections and penalties are timely and appropriate, should establish appropriate performance metrics for inspectors, and should provide adequate training to employees. The program's policies and practices were not adequate in any of the areas we reviewed. Further, program officials need to improve their process to ensure inspections are timely. Officials told us they reviewed inspection data every 3 to 6 months to identify late inspections, but did not have a process to proactively identify facilities due for inspection prior to them becoming late. Program officials also lacked a process to ensure facilities were penalized consistently. The program did not set performance metrics for its inspectors, and the program has not offered statutorily required training in several years. Officials placed a significant amount of trust and responsibility on staff to ensure the program operates effectively. Officials trusted staff and did not see a need to take additional oversight. Officials agreed adding formal processes to oversee these functions may help improve the effectiveness of the program. Although program officials told us they view training as a critical component of their program, it does not appear to have been a priority in recent years. A lack of program oversight likely contributed to several late inspections and inconsistent penalties against facilities. Inspectors were late completing 13% of the 760 routine inspections, half of the 40 re-inspections, and 35% of the 49 complaint inspections we sampled. Program officials did not penalize 64% of the facilities that failed three consecutive inspections from 2013 to 2017, per their general rule in policy. Staffing levels. The state's program was slightly understaffed compared to the Missouri and Nebraska programs, and an additional inspector may help the program operate more effectively. Kansas had a higher number of inspections per inspector than Missouri and Nebraska. Officials in Colorado, Iowa, and Missouri said they had an investigative inspector position that Kansas did not have. This position was responsible for identifying and investigating facilities that operated without a license, as well as other program duties as needed. An additional inspector, such as the investigative inspector position other states described, could help the program complete these and other critical inspections timely and bolster the program's monitoring efforts to investigate unlicensed facilities. Program efficiency. We did not identify any program inefficiencies compared to a small sample of other states. The program has taken multiple steps in recent years to help improve program efficiency, including switching to a risk-based review schedule, which allows them to inspect low-risk facilities less often than high-risk facilities. The four states we sampled had not taken any additional actions that would further increase the efficiency of Kansas's program. The audit's third question was, to what extent have the conditions in commercial breeding operations in Kansas changed since our audit of the Animal Facilities Inspection Program in 2002? The answer is, we were unable to determine how commercial breeding conditions changed since 2002 due to a lack of program outcome data. However, the number of licensed animal breeders and their percentage of failed inspections has declined slightly in recent years. Program trends. With the exception of animal breeders, overall program trends have remained relatively stable since 2013. Animal breeders have seen a significant change in licensed facilities since 2013, declining by 26% during that time. Program officials told us they were not certain what caused the decline in licensed animal breeders. Since 2013, all facility types failed a relatively low percentage of total inspections, 3% to 26%. Animal breeders had the highest rate of failed inspections of any facility type. However, their rate of failed inspections declined from 26% in 2013 to 12% in 2016. Previous audit findings. The program did not fully address most of the findings from our 2002 audit. In August 2002, we issued an audit, Animal Breeders and Sellers in Kansas, determining whether improvements have been made in the regulation of this industry. The audit had multiple findings related to inadequate policies and practices of the state's Animal Facilities Inspection Program at the time. We compared the findings from our prior audit to the findings of our current audit and found that the program has fully addressed only one of the five problem findings from our 2002 audit. The audit identified issues related to initial licensing, inspections, and penalties. It also contained a finding related to an inadequate policy and procedure manual. Program officials did address our finding related to improperly issuing licenses before a satisfactory initial inspection. However, officials did not fully address the four other findings from the 2002 audit. We made a series of recommendations that officials update and expand their policy and procedure manual, create systems to ensure that all inspections and penalties are timely and appropriate, work with Kansas State University officials to provide the statutorily required training, and consider working with the legislature to request an investigative inspector position. In their response, agency officials said they generally agreed with the audit findings. This podcast was produced by the Legislative Division of Post Audit. The full report and audit highlights document also are available on our website at www.kslpa.org. For more information or for a complete printed copy of this report, please contact Legislative Post Audit at 785-296-3792 or email the audit supervisor at matt.etzel@lpa.ks.gov. This concludes this podcast.